Today's gospel, a story that it's an incredible story when you try to understand or when you look at it from like a if you didn't know how the story ended up kind of a perspective. It's about Jesus going to a man who laid by a pool of Bethesda who had been lying there for how long?
38 years.
38 years is how long? 38 years ago is what? Math. Carry the one denominator. 38 years ago would have been what? Is anyone here 38 years old? No one? 38? No, can anyone do math? Say 2024 minus 38. Who can get it quick? Huh? 1986. Okay, thank you. That was not a trick question. That was an easy question. Just to put in perspective, because sometimes we read things and we're like 38 years, 40 years, 42 years. No, 38 years means that somebody's been in the same condition since 1986. Since 1986, somebody, think about the situation that you're in, that you're praying, that you're asking, that you're seeking, that you're sending a little piece of paper up here on the altar, that you're begging a boona, that you're fasting, and that's been going on not since 2016, not since 2006, not since 1996, but since 1986. That's the person who's been in this problem. And Jesus came in 2 minutes and he healed him. The whole situation was fine in 2 minutes. Been waiting since 1986. 2 minutes, Jesus came and solved the whole problem. I think this story, this passage, I think the key to the passage is in it, as you see, Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda where there was all kinds of sick people, all kinds of miserable people. Like if you look at the most miserable place on the planet to be, I would say this is where it would be. Because you see all kinds of sick people there who were trying to get in the pool. Who do you think was next to the sick people that didn't make it into the pool? What do you think was along the site was a pool in the middle and sick person, and then something else, and then maybe another sick person. What do you think might be in between the sick people? What do you think might be scattered around all the sick people? Dead people. Dead people. Because this is where you go to die when you got no other hope. Like no one starts at the pool of Bethesda. You start with, you know, change my diet. Okay, and hopefully that'll solve it. Then you go to the sorcerer, and then you go to the doctor, and then you go to the priest. And people were coming here and hoping they would get healed. And for sure, you had sick people, you had dead people. You had the most, I can only imagine the smell. Okay, a hot summer Middle Eastern day, the stench, the sweat. Like you could just imagine the smell of death in the air. And then Jesus comes to this guy and he asks him the most like, what kind of question in the whole wide world? What does Jesus ask him? Do you want to be made well? And the answer to that is what? Like, what? Like, are you serious? Like, do you want to be made well? Like, you're looking for the camera. Do you want to be made well? Like, what kind of question is that? Like, it doesn't even make any sense. Of course I want to be made well. First of all, I'm paralyzed. What kind of paralyzed person doesn't want to be made well? I'm sitting here by this miserable pool with this miserable people, with this miserable situation. Of course I want to be made well. But Jesus asking the man, let's go interactive today. Why would Jesus ask the man, do you want to be made well? What does that teach us about healing from God? What does that teach us? It teaches us a very important point. Again, I did this last time I gave a sermon here. I got one thing I want to say, one thing. And if we get this thing, sermon's over. That's like me asking, do you want the sermon to finish early today? Of course. Who would answer no to that? Of course. We have to want the healing. Okay. That's close. Like that's on the right direction. Take it further. Ask for it, okay. What are you saying, Myrna? Okay, yes. Okay, we have to be active participants. I'm gonna come back, that's a good one. Yes? You have to believe, okay, that's part of the active participants. Finish this sentence for me. Healing is a choice. But I gave you half the sentence, so I'm gonna keep going. Healing is a choice. Healing is a choice. Now, that's not how usually how we look at it. Like, let's be honest. Every single person, coming here today is coming here, unless you were forced here. Every single person, some people smiled when I said forced here. Unless you are forced here or bribed here, every single one of us is coming to God because we want healing. That's the origin of all of it. There's something in our life that we need healing from. Maybe it's a relational healing. Maybe it's a spiritual healing. Maybe it's a physical healing for ourselves or for a loved one. But everything, every one of us, like if I passed around the microphone and we weren't embarrassed, of course we're all embarrassed, we all hide. But if I passed around the microphone, everyone would say, yeah, I want healing from God. And Jesus is in favor of healing. He said that he compared himself to a physician. And he came not for those who are well, but the physician comes for those who are sick. So Jesus is here to heal. And we are in need of healing. But the thing that this teaches us right here is Jesus comes to this man and said, do you want to be made well? And on the surface, you're like, of course. But I'm going to push back on it. Because I don't think Jesus would ask this question unless it's something that we need to really think about and say, do we want to be made well? Do we really want to be healed? If you want to be made well, okay, I think, so my first thing I want to say is healing is a choice. You must choose to be made well, which on the surface we would say we all want to be made well. But let me push back on that and say, what is the determining factor? How can you tell if you actually want to be made well or don't want to be made well? You have to choose it. How can you tell the difference? This man, y'all know the tradition about this man is that he didn't end up very well. Okay, so all throughout Lent we read, like last week we read about the Samaritan woman and Jesus healed her. He didn't ask her, do you want to be made well? But he healed her spiritually and she became a great saint and a great missionary. Her name is Saint Fotini, okay, one of the first missionaries in Christian history. Next week we're going to read the story about the born blind man, okay, and that man also turned out to be a great believer and a great follower of Christ. This guy was healed, and the tradition says that he didn't turn out so well. And actually, you don't even need the tradition to tell us. In the gospel today, it told us what happened after Jesus healed this man. What did the man do? The man ratted Jesus out. And the man went to, the Jews came to him and said, who did this to you? And he's like, I don't know. And then they said it was him, and they said, yeah, it was him. I don't know anything about him, it was him. And the scripture said that because of his testimony, the Jews sought to kill Jesus. Based on this man's testimony, it's the end of John chapter 5. So we know about this guy that he didn't end up very well. I have to choose to be made well. Healing is a choice. How can I tell if I'm choosing it or not choosing it? What's the measure? How can I tell? Because on the surface, who doesn't want to be made well? What's the measure? You tell me. What do you think? Comfort level, okay. So the one who doesn't want to be made well is comfortable in his sin, comfortable in his sickness, and says, I want to be made well. But in the end, this is what he or she knows. So yeah, he may be too comfortable there. But by their mouth, they would say they want to be made well. So how can we tell? I think it comes down to one thing with two applications. I think it comes down to trust. I think it comes down to trust. The one who wants to be made well, the sign of whether or not he or she wants to be made well, is trust God. And trust God, I'm going to give it two applications. The first application is something not to do, and the second application is something to do. The thing not to do, number one, is making excuses, blaming others, making excuses about your circumstance. This guy right here, when Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? What was his response? I don't have anyone to push me in the pool. It's not my fault. The circumstances are against me. Sometimes people come to me in confession. If you've ever come to me in confession, you know one of the things that I hate. We as priests, weakness, no problem. Struggle, no problem. Excuses, we don't accept excuses. I hate excuses. My kids know that about me. Confess, no problem. But excuses, I can't get along with my wife. I can't get along with my husband. I don't accept that. I make the person say, I won't get along with my spouse. I can accept I won't. That's honest. I can't accept I can't. I can't get along with them. I can't forgive them. I don't accept I can't. That's an excuse. I make the person say, I won't. I choose not to. I can't stop gossiping. No, I won't stop gossiping. I can't stop lying. No, I won't stop lying. This person right here made an excuse. And because he made an excuse, okay, it was clear that while he, on the surface, wanted to be made well, the excuses, the blaming others, the circumstances was always against me. Who was the first person who God came to him and told him, what's going on right here? And he started making excuses. First person in history to start making excuses. Adam. Adam, what's going on, is the wife. Eve, what's going on, is the snake. Each one pointing at the other. And God doesn't accept it. The starting point, if we want to be made well, is we stop making excuses, stop feeling sorry for ourselves, stop complaining about our circumstances. You know, I think to the great miracles. Think of like David and Goliath. What makes David and Goliath great is David was faced with this big giant Goliath. And what David did not say is, God, why is Goliath so big? Why is Goliath so strong? Why is Goliath such Daniel in the lion's den? You don't hear Daniel saying, why, God, did you give me a lion right here? Why couldn't it have been a kitty cat? Like with the story of Daniel in the lion's den, if it was Daniel in the kitty cat's den, wouldn't be the same story. Or David and the short guy. Okay, what's great is David and Goliath, David and the giant, not David and the little guy. And the same thing is, if our focus is on our circumstances, and God, change our circumstances, and God, why'd you give me these circumstances, and I can't take these circumstances, that's a sign of a person who doesn't really want to be made well. That's a sign of a person who would rather come up with excuses. And our first step is, we got to say, we don't feel sorry for ourselves, we don't blame others. We don't come into confession and say, you know, I did this and this and this because so-and-so did this and this. And I can't forgive because they did whatever. The person who wants to be made well in whatever area, the first starting point is to say, this circumstances, this giant, this situation, this sickness, this whatever, I accept it. I trust you, God. You sent it into my life. I hate it, but I accept it. I hate it, but I accept it. And then the second, what not to do is to blame and make excuses. The second is to take a step of faith and believe. What did Jesus tell this man to do right here? Do you want to be made well? He made an excuse, and Jesus went past the excuse, and then he told him to do something. What did he do? What did he ask him to do? What did Jesus ask this man to do? Huh? Rise. Take up your bed and walk. What did Jesus ask the man to do? The very thing that he said, I can't do. Like, the one thing you can ask a paralyzed, one thing you can't ask a paralyzed man to do is rise, take up your bed and walk. Like, you can tell me pray, and I can pray. You can tell me believe, I can believe. You can tell me confess, and I can confess. But the one thing you can't tell me, if I'm paralyzed, is rise, take up your bed, and walk. But that's the very thing that Jesus comes and tells the guy. Why? Why? Because do you want to be made well? And healing is a choice. And you have to be an active participant in your healing. And if you want to receive healing, then the first thing is, trust me, accept the circumstances. Step two, believe and obey. Believe and obey, even if it's crazy, even if it's impossible, even if it sounds like there's no way I can do this, God. There's no way. Like, if I'm that paralyzed man, I'm saying, Jesus, give me anything else other than this. There's no way I can do this. But that's the step of healing. And when we come and seeking healing, because that's what we're all doing coming here to church, we're seeking healing, is that at some point, I guarantee you, at some point, and my bet is that many of us are probably at that point right now, but at some point in your faith journey, God is going to ask you to do something which you think is impossible for you to do. I guarantee it. At some point in your faith journey, the faith journey is not a steady line like this. Okay, that's how we kind of think it should be. It should be a steady, it's not. It's more like this, like this, like this, like this. And then I always look at it as inflection points. You know what inflection points means? It means you hit certain points, and this is either gonna take you to here or push you down here. Inflection points, okay? I think of it like, I think of a dumb example, but it makes sense to me, is that, remember Super Mario Brothers when we were kids? Super Mario Brothers. So it's a video game, one of the greatest video games of all time. Only two buttons needed, B and A, not the 17 buttons that you got on your Xboxes and PlayStations now. But basically what it was is you had level 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, and then at the end of 1-4 was the dragon, okay, Bowser, who was very challenging. And if you beat him, you go to 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, 2-4, and at the end of 2-4, again, the dragon, and if you beat him, you go to 3. If you're here at 1-4 and you lose to this guy, you go back to 1, okay? But then once you clear 1-4, you go to 2, and if you lose 2-4, you go back to 2-1. It's not a lesson about video games, but I believe that's the way the spiritual life is in a lot of ways, that we're going, and we're struggling, and it's up, and it's up, and then we hit inflection points. Moments in time which are going to define forks, like the forks in the road. I mean, take me there or gonna push me down there. Actually, if you were paying attention today, all of the readings talked about a particular day in time, if you were paying attention. Anyone pay attention? What day was discussed in all the readings? It was Judgment Day. Judgment Day. Inflection. Now, I think of Judgment Day, I don't think it as the ultimate last Judgment Day. I think that there are moments, there are points in time, inflection points, that we hit those challenges of faith, those very difficult times, those we've been suffering for 38 years, and here we are, face to face with the judge. And based on what happens now, we're going to go here, or we're going to go down here. Samaritan woman, even though we didn't read her last week, so we'll talk about her. Samaritan woman hit that point by the well that one Sunday. Okay, and she hit that point, and that decision took her there or could have taken her down there. When Jesus said to her, go call your husband, she could have said, I don't know what you're talking about, husband, and it's not my fault, and do you know how my upbringing, do you know why my father did to me, and my mother treated me like this? She didn't do any of that stuff. She confessed her sin, and boom, she went up there. Next week, we can read about the born blind man. Same thing, inflection point. Every single person, there comes a point in time in your spiritual journey. You hit these inflection points, and God is going to ask you to do something that's impossible. It's impossible for next week, the born blind man. Jesus is going to put the mud. He's going to say, go to a faraway place and wash. It's not possible, Jesus. That's impossible. Paralyzed man, rise, take up your bed and walk. For us, go apologize. Go accept that person's apology. Go tell them that you forgive them. Let go of what they did. Go make up with that person. Pick up the phone and call them. Confess your sin. Go to confession. No, but you don't know what happened to me, when, I can never. No, go to confession. There's gonna come a point in time, guarantee you, inflection points, where God is gonna ask you to do something that you say is impossible, that I just can't do. And the answer, that your response to that is the answer, do you want to be made well? Your response to that impossible command is your actual answer to the question, do you want to be made well? Because the two are connected together. Bottom line, in the end, Jesus came as a healer. We come to church as to a hospital. Jesus wants to heal, especially as we approach Holy Week. It's all about healing. I told you before that the word salvation, the best way to understand salvation from an Orthodox concept is to insert the word healing instead of salvation. Okay, because salvation, people define it in different ways. But if you put the word healing in there, it gives you the understanding of what Jesus came to do. He is the healer who came to heal mankind of the sickness, the sin and the sickness that had entered into the world. He came to give healing. He wants to give healing. But the question is not, does he want to heal? The question is, do you want to be made well? I know that the doctor is in anytime we come to church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. And I know that he's got his office hours, especially as we approach Holy Week. I know that the clinic is open during Holy Week. And I know he's doing healings, and he's doing surgeries, and he's doing procedures. But the question is not, does he want to heal? The question that you have to answer is, do you want to be made well? If so, number one, no excuses, no blaming, take accountability. Number two is that when it comes to that point where we're given a command, is that we trust God and we obey. And if we do that, then we will see great miracles. We will experience great miracles the way God has intended for us. Glory be to God forever. Amen.